Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Is it possible to live pure in the sight of God in a world where that we find all kinds of ungodliness, in a world that does not know God? Is it possible for you and me to be able to live right in the sight of our God? You know, we are indeed blessed to live here in this country. We are blessed with freedoms that others do not have, freedoms that many only can dream of. Truly, our God is blessing America unto this very hour. We are able to speak freely, to be able to say whatever is on our mind, and we need to be careful with that as Christians to make sure that what is on our minds is Christ-like, and that as we would communicate, that we would shine as a light unto the lost and dying world. We are able, living here in America, to be able to control our lives, to be able to go in whatever direction we might choose to go in, and to fashion our lives so that we are able to enjoy the things that we like most in this world. But also, as Christians, we are blessed, are we not, to be able to worship our God without any fear, according to the way in which He commands us to worship Him. We have freedom here in the United States to practice how we might want to practice. But yet at the same time, as I stand before you today, I tell you that there may come a time when our rights are taken away. If indeed God would allow some country to come in and to overtake us, to empower the world, friends, in those times, you and I would know that foreign kings, to begin with, for the most part, they do not know our God, and therefore they would not recognize you and me, and also then they would not honor the privileges that we have here in this country. They do not care about us. They do not abide according to godly laws, nor do they abide according to the civil laws that are put in place for our rights and our protections. When we think with regard to dictators, they are out to control every move that people take in life. And we find this even during the time of the first century. Christians came to understand this, as we've been talking about in our Sunday morning class on the book of Revelation, that they were dictated by, they were controlled by Rome. And the Roman emperors wanted Christians, they wanted the entire world, but they focused upon Christians especially because they would not do what they were wanting them to do. They wanted them to bow down to the king. They wanted to dictate, to govern every angle or aspect of their life. God wants you and me to know that no matter what it is that we face in this world, whether we're dealing with personal trial and temptation, our faith in God needs to stand. Whenever we are dealing with multiple challenges from within and without, we need to make sure that we allow our faith in God not only to stand, but that we are doing all that is within our power to do to increase our faith and our love for our God. You see, the Bible shows us that true faith remains pure even under attack. We need to live faithful before God no matter what we face in this world. Why? Because our reward in heaven is determined by whether or not we are able to stand as God's children. You know, God provides us not only instruction, direct, explicit instruction from His Word as to how we are to live, but God also gives us some beautiful examples in the Bible. This morning, I want us to go back and to consider a character from the Old Testament Scripture, from the book of Daniel, and I want us to look with regard to this man Daniel and some things that we can find as to what he went through in life, what God allowed this man to go through, but yet at the same time, I want us to focus upon the purity of life that this man had in his reverence and in his commitment to live faithful before God. The context of Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through verse 4, identifies to us that the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and his troops invaded Jerusalem in 605 B.C. As a result of that invasion, the Scripture identifies to us that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are taken into captivity. Those last three names that I mentioned, we oftentimes refer to them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men, as well as Daniel, are taken back into Babylonian captivity with a wealth of other Jews. And what were they to do? They were taken as slaves in this foreign land. They lost their rights. They lost all of their freedoms, their abilities to bow down and to worship God according to the manner that God expected them to worship Him under the Mosaic dispensation of time or the Mosaic law. And yet at the same time, we find is that Nebuchadnezzar and his governing body drew out these four men, and they gave them special attention, but yet at the same time, they expected them to follow according to the dietary laws that was put before them. The Bible identifies to us in regard to Daniel is that Daniel had purposed in his heart to remain pure. Well, what does it mean that he purposed in his heart to remain pure? It meant that Daniel was going to take a stand with God. He had already committed his life to God, and now he says that no matter what Nebuchadnezzar, no matter what the Babylonians try to get me to do, if it stands in violation of the law of God, I'm not going to go there. In fact, the Scripture, the context of Scripture spells those things out for us in Daniel chapter 1. Is that rather eating according to the way and drinking according to the manner that Nebuchadnezzar and his governing body expected, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say that they are going to only eat vegetables and that they are not going to drink the king's wine, but rather they're only going to consume water. And friends, the Bible identifies to us is that this opened doors for Daniel and his counterparts. In all we find is that at the end where they are tested, the Scripture identifies to us is that they are seen more fairer than those who had followed according to the dietary laws. But also, we understand is that God continually worked with Daniel to open up a number of doors that would prove to be beneficial for Daniel himself, but also that would glorify our heavenly God, our God who reigns in heaven above. You see, faith and purity defines Daniel's life. And this is a picture that God wants you and me to understand. As we withdraw to our lesson this morning then, I want to draw your attention to Daniel chapter 6. And by Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is an old man. Whenever he's taken into captivity, he is very young. In fact, a teenager, we would presume. But now, by the time that we come to Daniel chapter 6, many scholars contend that he is somewhere around 80 years of age. Belshazzar, the king over Babylon, has been overthrown. In fact, Daniel chapter 5 and verse 30 tells us that he is slain. And now the one who is seen on the throne is Darius, and Darius is the king over the Medes and Persians. In this, whenever a new administrator takes charge, we need to understand is that oftentimes they also then would change those positions that fall under their administration. And that's why we read in the context that 120 satraps govern over the land. But yet at the same time, I want to point this out, is that Daniel, though, is blessed to continue in the position that he held. What position did he hold? The position of Daniel, in modern terms, would have been more in line with prime minister or secretary of state. And the context of Scripture identifies to us is that Darius is so impressed with Daniel is that he does not change out his position, but rather he allows him to continue on. Friends, does that not speak with regard to the integrity of this man, Daniel? But also, I believe that it speaks volumes in regard to the fact that God is working providentially for the sake of Daniel, but also for the sake of the glorification of his name to keep Daniel in this position. Darius is so impressed with Daniel, not only Is he allowed to continue in these positions? But friends, also we understand that he is being considered for yet another higher position in the land. The men who were serving, who have been appointed unto their offices, these men are very jealous of Daniel and the blessings that God is bestowing upon him. As a result of that, they are trying to find fault in Daniel, but yet at the same time, Daniel was such a man, friends, that there was no fault to be found in him. They could not find anywhere that he had violated any of the laws that Darius had put into place. And therefore, they knew for themselves that if they were going to be able to get Daniel, if they were going to be able to be successful in their jealousy and in their attempts to take him down, they were going to have to come up with something from a legal standpoint that would put him in opposition with his stands from a religious standpoint. And friends, as a result of that, they presented a proposal against Jewish worship. And that proposal was is that for 30 days, no one could bow themselves down to any other god than that of Darius. And friends, whenever they would do so, is that there would be grave consequences for those who would violate the law. Those who would violate the law in an ultimate standpoint, according to what we find in the immediate context of this great biblical book and this man Daniel, is that they would be cast into the lion's den, which would mean that their lives would be cast, or that it would cost them their lives. Friends, as a result of what we read in the context, Darius signed the decree. Someone might ask, why in the world would Darius sign the decree if Daniel had found favor in his sight? Friends, I contend as I stand before you this morning with this lesson is that Darius was not thinking the broader context of what would happen in regard to how it would relate with Daniel. So he signed the decree. And one thing that we need to understand whenever it came to the Mede and Persian rule is that whenever it was signed, there was no reversal of it. It had to play out. And friends, in regard to what we find in this context with Daniel, is that the news spread to Daniel about this ungodly law. And we're not told as to how Daniel learns this news. We do not know if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego brought the news to him, or if Daniel actually had to wait until the next administrative meeting to find this out. But what we do learn is that Daniel's response is spelled out in Scripture. The Bible identifies to us that Daniel went to his home in the upper room where the windows were open. Customarily, what we would draw is that Daniel had his windows open on a daily basis. And whenever Daniel went home, friends, his windows, not only were they open, his windows remained open. And Daniel, according to the context of Scripture, knelt down three times that day to pray unto God. Why did he not close his windows? Friends, to do so would have been cowardice. To have done so would have, in some form or fashion, would have presented that he was trying not to let people know that he was still going to follow God no matter what. But rather, he leaves his windows open and he bows down and he prays three times unto the God of heaven. The interesting part in regard to those who had taken the proposal before the king is that they also then, in the backdrop, would have been listening with their evil desires and their ungodly intentions. Why so? Because whenever they realize that Daniel has violated the law, they now take this violation of the law to King Darius. How was Darius affected whenever he learns in regard to the fact that this one who has violated the law is Daniel, the one who is serving as his Secretary of State or Prime Minister in that type of position, the man that he has been considering to even exalt yet to yet a higher position in his court? How is Darius affected by all of this, friends? To say that he is displeased is an understatement. This man is distraught, not with enrage or anger, from what I would read in the context in regard towards Daniel, but rather more so at himself as to what it is that he has done. by listening to those who have brought the proposal before Him and having signed His name and sealed it with His signet ring. Now He's left to ponder. He's left to consider, what am I going to have to do? I believe the context of Scripture suggests is that He spent quite a bit of time trying to think, how in the world can I get over what it is that I have now put into place and the violation of the law by this man Daniel, whom he had great respect for. Friends, the context of Scripture reveals to us that no matter what Darius was feeling internally, no matter what he wanted to do to reverse it, he realized that the law was the law and that he had to comply with the law, and therefore Darius is forced by his own decree to deliver Daniel into the lion's den. Friends, in regard to this, we find, though, is that precaution is taken. Whenever Daniel is cast into the lion's den, that a great stone is placed there at the entryway. Why? So that he could not escape, and because they did not want anyone to interfere. And as he's being cast into the lion's den, we find in regard to Darius is that Darius utters that your God will deliver you. In other words, is he saying, will your God deliver you? Or did he have great confidence in the fact that God would deliver him? There's no question about this, is that he wanted Daniel to be delivered from the lion's den. If he had not before, now, I believe more than anything, he wants to believe in the God that Daniel has bowed himself down to, and that this God, Jehovah God, the Creator of all things, would deliver this man whom he had great respect for himself. Friends, there were certainly mixed emotions that night on Daniel's behalf. Would you not agree with that? If only we could put ourselves in Daniel's shoes. We wouldn't want to, would we? But putting ourselves there, thinking maybe what it is that he's going running through his mind. Boy, a stand for God really can be hard. A stand for God can put you in a grave position. And maybe it's running through his mind, but yet at the same time it doesn't say this. Maybe it's running through his mind, how far was I willing to go? And friends, we know how far he's willing to go because he's here in the lion's den. And he has great faith, great confidence in God. And mixed emotions were not only running probably through Daniel's mind, but we know it's running through Darius's mind. Wanting his friend to be delivered from the den. He had pretty much a sleepless night, not knowing what would take place whenever he went to the lion's den the following morning. And friends, the context of the Old Testament Scripture in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 22 reveals to us is that the God of heaven took great care of Daniel that whole time. In fact, the next morning, whenever Darius comes, he cries out unto Daniel, probably not expecting to receive a response. But indeed, he does receive the response, and Daniel is alive. And friends, I would surmise that not only is Daniel thrilled with that, Darius is also thrilled with the fact that his worker and that his friend, the one that he has great respect for, that this man is found alive. And note what Daniel says. He says, the God of heaven, the Lord, has delivered me from the mouth of the lion. How? That he closed up the mouth of the lion, that the lions would not be able to attack him or to consume him. And why did God do that? The Bible identifies to us as that Daniel was found right in the sight of God, meaning Daniel had done nothing to hinder his relationship with God. Daniel had maintained his faith and his purity in the sight of our God. Friends, also, I want to draw our attention to the context. The Scripture says that Daniel had done nothing in violation of his responsibilities before Darius. That's monumental, isn't it, within itself? Is that we need to live according to the laws of the land so long as those laws of the land do not violate the law of God. And if we do violate those laws, then we are subject to the consequences not only under the laws, meaning that we might get a citation, meaning that we might be sued, meaning that, you know, a world of other things. But it also means is that we can be held accountable before God for those matters. In regard to what we find, God delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Why? Note what we learn. Daniel had purposed in his heart all along to live his life faithful before God. How would these lessons or these things apply to you and me today? We need to fully commit our hearts on serving God. Amen? We don't need to say just with haphazardly, with empty words, I'm going to serve God. And then when we find ourselves in circumstances, we don't follow through with it. But rather, when we look that Daniel purposed in his heart, it means that he had said at one point in his time, I'm going to serve God no matter what. Nothing's going to get in my way of standing faithful before God. And friends, he focused upon that on a daily basis. Every single day, no doubt, he's running that through his mind. He's faced with a trial or temptation. He said, I purposed in my heart, I'm going to stand for God. When you and I face trial, whenever we face temptation, whenever we face all kinds of craziness in this world, we need to go back to the time when we were baptized into Christ and to say, I made a commitment to myself and I made a commitment to God that I am going to live for Him and I'm not going to allow the devil to pull me away no matter what. We must never compromise truth for sinful laws. Whenever it comes to the world and the things that the world sets in order, let's take a look at abortion. Abortion is contrary to the law of God. And yet at the same time, I'm beside myself whenever I think of so many Christians, if you would, who say that they can go along with that. How can we go along with murdering the unborn whenever God Himself cannot go along with that? There are others who we live in an age now where everybody wants to be accepted where they are. And friends, these are souls that are precious to God that I'm getting ready to mention, but yet at the same time they cannot live in their sinful state and be right with God. They must repent and obey the laws of God and live according to the laws of God. But there are so many who are saying we need to embrace homosexuality because as a nation now, they have the right to marry. Friends, I don't care what or who signs a law into order if it's a violation of the law of God. I'm not going to go along with it. Why? Because I purposed in my heart a long time ago that I'm going to stand for God. No matter what laws are put into place if they're in violation of the laws of God, we must stand where God expects us to stand. But then also, we must trust that God is there with us at all times. It does not mean that He will deliver us from the lion's den. But what it means is that He's going to be with us through no matter what. And as long as we stand even faithful until death, even if it costs us our life in standing for God, He is with us all the way through that. And because we've been faithful to Him, we shall receive a reward, an inheritance, in the day that Jesus Christ returns. You see, we must remain pure in our daily walk with God. Ephesians chapter 3 and through chapter 5 explains those things to us. We must stand faithful no matter what we see in this world because God and our relationship with God is most important. And above all, then, too, we need to be people who are thankful to God for the care that He has provided, for the care that He is providing, and for that care that He will give to us continually, as well as and especially for the reward that God has prepared for us in the end. Can a person live pure in an impure world? Absolutely. Daniel did in his days, and today God tells you and me as Christians we can, but not only can we must live pure before God in a world that is ungodly, because the ungodly world will not spend eternity in heaven with God. And if we want to spend eternity where God is with God, then we need to live our lives and we need to purpose our lives to God through purposing our heart each and every day in that commitment. If you're here this morning, you're outside of the body of Christ, we want you to know God's love for you and our love for you as well. We want to extend our Lord's invitation to you that you might confess Christ as the Son of the living God and submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. It may be also that we have erring members here. We want you also to know our love for you before services. Valerie Powers asked to, before class this morning, asked that we would offer prayer for her to be restored. We did that. And Valerie, we love you. We may have others here this morning who also need to be restored. And we want you to know that we will pray with you and for you, that God will forgive you, and that you can be put back into a right relationship with Him, and you can have that hope and that peace of mind that brings that surpasses all understanding. Looking forward to heaven. If you're subject to the call this morning, please come as